This is what I felt like that the Lord wanted me to share today. Perfect peace in the face of fear. And I think it's kind of appropriate because of the hour that we're living in and because of the things that are going on in the world. Even without the situation with Israel, there's stuff that's happening in our world every day where it just seems like the wicked are becoming more wicked. It seems like that politically that our country, our country, is just going more pagan and is enforcing, it's entrenched itself so deeply into our government and even into our churches today, are compromising and are turning away. And the whole world just seems like it's becoming very dark. And the scriptures do tell us that that day will happen, and we're certainly experiencing that. So what do we do about that? You know, do we cower and do we give up? Do we get all worried and upset? I would say this, and I'm going to get into the scriptures in a second here, but just as a comment, don't watch too much news. You know, I know we all want to stay up to date with what's going on, but even as ministers, we have to make decisions from time to time. We got to get push away from watching all this stuff and get alone with God and spend some time in His Word and in prayer, because you can really get overwhelmed with it because there's so much that's happening every day. So before we get started, let's pray. Father, I thank You for Your Word. I thank You for the power that is in Your Word and how that Your Word affects us in so much that the Scripture says that You transform us by the renewing of our minds, and that the seed, the incorruptible seed of Your Word, saves us. And also You wash us in the water of Your Word, according to Ephesians 5. Lord, that You are washing us that we might be free from all of the things of this world and be sanctified to You, that we would be presented to You a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. And so, Lord, we thank You for the power of Your Word and the power of the Holy Spirit upon Your Word today in our hearts as we hear Your Word. In Jesus' name, amen. So one of my favorite verses of Scripture is found in Colossians chapter 3. And I quote this a lot, but let me just read it to you real quickly, verses 1 through 4, which is what I usually talk about. And that is this: if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. So He's encouraging us to keep our focus on the things of heaven, the things of God. And you often hear people say, well, you're just too heavenly, you're so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. And I think the opposite is true. If you're not heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. Some people are just too earthly minded. They're no heavenly good, and they're no good to anybody else either, even on the earth. You know, if we get too caught up in the things of this world, I know for me personally, if I get too caught up in the stuff that's going on and the things that I'm seeing and the things that I'm hearing about, I get grumpy. And you can just ask my wife. That's why she was giggling. That was her way of saying amen.
But no, I don't want it to be amen.
Yeah, you don't want it to be so. Yes. So, you got to be careful what you say amen to, don't you? Because that word means so be it. You know? But it affects us. And so He's encouraging us to keep our minds on the things which are above and keep our minds on the things that are of heaven and of God. After all, that's where our city is. That's our citizenship. We're not citizens of this planet. You know, we're not citizens. We're not, we may have a voter registration card and that sort of thing. But, and that's the reason why that we're not that comfortable anymore being here. It used to be where the United States was just a great place to live because we could do whatever we wanted to do and say whatever we wanted to, and we could post anything on the internet that we wanted to, but it's not so anymore. And it's increasingly getting, you know, where it's not so. And I think in a way it's a good thing because we Christians are becoming more, realizing more and more, this really isn't my home. You know, my home is in New Jerusalem. You know, that's where I'm a citizen of. In fact, you know, Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that we're ambassadors for Christ. You know, an ambassador is one who represents the country they come from. And we're ambassadors from heaven. We're ambassadors from New Jerusalem. And so we need to kind of get used to that because that's where we're going. You know, and that could be any second now. And so I think we should get used to that, and that's why he's telling us we need to focus there. But there is another verse that's found in chapter 3 that I just felt like that God was speaking to me that he wanted me to share. And maybe this whole message is just for me. And if so, then you all can just say, Lord, bless him. But anyway, he says there in Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, he says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. We need to let it have...
Did you push play?
No, I didn't. I guess I should. Okay. Thank you for reminding me. So anyways, she was wanting me to record the video, and I forgot to do that. Anyway... It says for us to let the peace of God rule in our hearts. And so this is what I was kind of meditating on, is letting the peace of God have control, letting the peace of God have the preeminence in my life. And so I just, you know, was doing some research and everything. And of course, this verse, and I know you know this, Isaiah 26:3, is one of the first ones you would think of. But it's so important that we grasp everything that he's saying here. And so I'm going to kind of tear this one apart. Okay? So Isaiah 26:3 tells us, you keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. So that phrase, perfect peace, is actually shalom, shalom. And it basically, shalom means wholeness, completeness, tranquilness, you know, to be tranquil, but also wholeness and completeness. And it's just almost like when Jesus would say, verily, verily, in the King James, or truly, truly. Here it's being said, shalom, shalom. In other words, I really want you to have my peace. You know, I really want you to have wholeness and completeness. And so in John 16:33, Jesus makes this statement, these things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation or trouble. But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Now we're real familiar with the tribulation that we have in this world, right? I mean, we know we're really good at tribulating, you know. And we run into problems all the time. And in our country, you know, some of the things we complain about, people in other countries are going, you're just spoiled. You know, you don't even know what trouble is until you come over here and experience what we're going through. But still, we get in some situations, and sometimes it can be serious. But we all experience that because we're in a fallen world. And so we're always experiencing trouble. Jesus said, in the world, you're going to have trouble. He's not talking about the tribulation, but he's talking about just the troubles of daily living, just the troubles of going upstream in a downstream world. Wanting to be living in the light and be the light in a world that loves darkness. I mean, there's going to be spiritual attacks that are going to come against you. There's going to be financial attacks that will come against you. There'll be physical attacks that will come against you. You'll have problems with your neighbors. You'll have problems with your family members, and with friends and that sort of thing. These difficulties all happen to all of us. But Jesus said, "But I've spoken things to you because I want you to have my peace. And so that's what he's offering us, is peace in the midst of the storms of life that we all go through. And so that's what he's encouraging us to do. Notice he says, whose mind is stayed on you. Now that's much like what he was saying there in Colossians, what Paul was saying in Colossians, was keeping our minds in the right place, having our minds set on things above. So he says, you will keep us in perfect peace, or shalom, shalom, if we keep our minds stayed on you. So I looked at the word stayed, and that's the Hebrew word samach, which means to be fixed or established. So in other words, we fix our mind, we set our mind not on all the garbage that's going on around us, but we set our mind to stay focused on God. You know, that's kind of another reason why that the scripture talks about pray without ceasing. I mean, what happens when you're praying without ceasing? When you go through your daily life and you're just always praying about something or just talking to God. You know, sometimes prayer is just talking to God. And I find myself just talking to God all the time, and which is an awesome thing. I'll never forget, I was working for a church, and the executive pastor there, he asked me how much time that I spent he was asking me really about how do I delegate my time during the day? What are my disciplines? And I said, well, first thing I do in the morning is I spend at least an hour in prayer to start off with. And he went, oh, that's impossible. I don't even spend 15 minutes. And I thought, oh, well, I mean, that shocked me. And I thought, well, how do you do that? I mean, how I don't know how to go starting a day, much less go through a day, without spending time with God. And because I just totally rely on Him. I'm too stupid to do, you know, to do the day without God. You know, He's got to help me. You know, I need Him to direct me. I need Him to guide me. I need Him to help me to keep control of Charlie. Because, you know, Charlie's flesh is just, you know, wants to scream sometimes. Paul says something that's very interesting. And we all know what I'm sharing with you. You probably know every scripture I'm bringing up, but I think it's good to remind ourselves. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 through 5 says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. I think if you want to be honest, our biggest battle is right here between these two ears. And, you know, the thoughts that we have going through our heads. And sometimes we have thoughts where we're going, wait a minute, I don't even think like that. That's not one of my thoughts. You know, because I don't even think that way. You know, anybody, am I the only one? And you know that's an enemy that's whispering thoughts. Now, why would he do that? Because he knows it works. He knows it's a good thing for him to do. Because if he can get us to thinking the wrong way, then we'll start acting the wrong way. And we'll start doing the wrong way. And so, but our biggest battle many times is the thoughts that we entertain. It's the thoughts. I mean, if you have a thought and you know that wasn't you, and you know that wasn't God, I mean, Paul is saying we have mighty weapons. We have weapons that are mighty in God to the pulling down of such strongholds, things that maybe we have been meditating on too much, and now it's a stronghold. Now it's got a place in our life, and so the Lord says, deal with that. Let's get rid of that. The good news is that our weapons are still mighty through God. You know, and we can do it. It's not something we can't do. We can. And those things that would try to argue with our faith and try to belittle what the Word of God is actually saying and doing in our lives, because the Word of God is doing an amazing work in us. He that has begun a good work, Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, he will not stop. He will not quit until he comes back for us. You know, he will accomplish the thing that he sent his word to do. And he sent his word into you. And it's incorruptible seed. And it's going to bring about the product that God had invested in. And so, it says, and every high thing that exalts itself against what? The knowledge of God. I mean, that's the first thing that happened in the garden. You know, that's what the enemy did with Eve. the very first thing. Well, what did God say about, you know, all these trees? What did God say? And of course, Eve, you know, she did her best with what she heard Adam tell her. But, you know, he said, well, God didn't really say that. So he's already, he's raising up a thought that is exalting itself against the knowledge of God. What did God really say about all those trees? And you know, they could eat whatever they wanted to of those trees. There's just one they need to stay away from. And, of course, that's the one that she got to really focusing on that became a stronghold in her mind. And so anyway, and it says that these weapons are mighty to the pulling down of the strongholds and casting down arguments, but also and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every one of these thoughts into captivity and obedience before Christ. In other words, they have to bow their knee to Jesus Christ. And this can be done. In Psalm 112, verse 7, it says, "He shall not be afraid of evil tidings," talking about the righteous. "He shall not be afraid of evil tidings." Why? "Because his heart is firmly fixed, trusting, leaning on, and being confident in the Lord." I really think we need to remind ourselves of these things even more so in these days that we're in right now. Notice that in verse 3 of Isaiah, it says, "Because he trusts in you." So, because being fixed on the Lord, and it brings us to a place of trust and leaning on and being confident in the Lord. The Hebrew word for trust is bata, which is to be securely confident. So as we're securely confident in what God has said, it doesn't matter what we're going through. It doesn't matter what we're hearing in our head. It doesn't matter what we're feeling in our body. We still know that God is faithful. We still know that God is with us. And you know, one of the neat things about being a Christian is that, you know what, even if something does take us out, you know, if something were to take us, our lives, you know, and we pass away, we're still not really taken out. You know, you just freed us. You know, you just freed us to have the even better part. You know, it's like Paul said, you know, I'm kind of struggling with this because, you know, I don't know if it's better for me to go be with the Lord or to remain here. Whether, you know, there are times where I'd just rather go on and be with him. You know, it's, come on, Nero, go ahead and cut my head off. Would you get it over with? Because I'm ready to go. But he said, but for your sakes, I need to stay around. So I guess God still isn't done with me. So I'll hang out, you know, and I'll continue to minister. But to be taken out, that's an exciting thing. You know, if all those people were Christians that were murdered a couple of weeks ago, if they were all Christians, they were shouting, you know, because they were before the throne and they were with Jesus. And so if we get taken out, that's cool, you know, but you know, in the meantime, while we're still here and we're experiencing trouble and we're experiencing anxiety and we're experiencing health problems or what have you, you know, we still have the Word of God and we have the Holy Spirit to grant us supernatural peace in the midst of those storms, so that if we're supposed to get to the other side, we'll get to the other side. Jesus is with us. He's in the boat with us. He'll calm the storm and he'll get us to the other side, and we'll get through it. So anyway, it says because they, and then verse 4 of Isaiah 26, it finishes up and says this: "Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock." God is our foundation. He is our rock. He is unmovable. You will not be able to budge the truth about God's word. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but not one comma, not one jot or tittle of his word will ever pass away. The word of God created all things. The word of God is causing all the planets to stay in their orbits today. And the word of God will still be here when everything is over with. When there will be no wickedness, there will be no Antichrist, there will be no devil, there will be nothing. All of that will be gone and all the plans of men will be gone, and all that will be left is the Word of God. And so he is our everlasting rock. And what he has said and what he is doing and what he has done, it will remain forever and ever. So we're on the right side, you know. And we're in the right camp. And we're among the right people. And we may not always act the right way. We may not always say the right thing, but we mean the right thing, you know. And we want to be right with each other. But that's where, you know, we ought to just forgive one another, you know, when we're not always being up to par, you know. And just be forgiving, because we know that we need it ourselves personally. I'm sure you've always heard that, you know, if you're ever pointing one finger at somebody, you've got, you know, three more pointing right back at you. So, and it's just the truth. But anyway, so we can cast down imaginations. We can put everything into context to what is God saying? What has God already said about us? And we can have the shalom of God. We can have wholeness even in the midst of trial, even in the midst of storm, even in the midst of physical ailments, even in the midst of a doctor telling us that, you know, you've only got so much, you know, so long to live. We can have supernatural peace. It's amazing some of the people that I have met that have had a diagnosis of cancer or what have you, and they just have the biggest smile on their face, you know. And you try to comfort them and say something, and they'll say, "Oh, don't worry about me. I know where I'm going. This is exciting. I'm getting ready to go home." And so, you know, we need to be reminded of that God is forever faithful. Psalm 4, verse 8 says, "In peace I will both lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety." We shouldn't have a sleepless night because of something we're worried about. We should remember that God has given us shalom. That no matter what the enemy just said or did, no matter what argument you might have just got involved with, you can go along, get yourself alone with God, spend a little bit of time in prayer, and just talk to him and meditate his word, and he will give you his perfect peace. And you can go and sleep. And then Psalm 122, verse 6. This one is one I think we need to remember for the people in Israel. Pray for the peace of Israel. May they be secure who love you. Now, again, I say, not all of Israel is saved. There actually is, from what I hear, 30,000 Christians in Israel right now. And these are Israelis. These are born-again Jews. There is a revival taking place amongst Jews. Now, there still are a lot of Jews that are mostly pagan. And in fact, Tel Aviv is said to be the capital of homosexuality now. Not San Francisco, it's Tel Aviv. And so, believe it or not, you know, it's strange. In fact, some of the worst people that are out there coming against Israel are Jews. That you listen to comedians and you listen to different people that are out there in the entertainment field and that sort of thing, they're Jewish. But it's like Jesus said in the book of Revelation, he said, they say they are Jews, but they are not. They are of the synagogue of Satan. And so, you know, they may have that in their DNA, but from God's perspective, you're no Jew. You wouldn't talk like that. You wouldn't do that. And so we know that that's true, but we also know that there is a remnant that are going to be saved. And there is a remnant that will survive the tribulation and will come to accepting Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. It's going to take a lot of hard stuff happening to them. And that's primarily what the whole tribulation is about. It's judging all the wicked, but it's also about bringing Israel back to God. And it will take place, but only one-third survive the tribulation. Two-thirds of them die. So I think I already shared this before, that what happened a couple of weeks ago, in comparison to us, because of our population, if you were to relate that to our population, it would be the same as if we had 36,000 people die on that same day. And if it would have happened here in that perspective, in that
percentage,
yes, That's how serious this is. But during the tribulation, two-thirds of their population gets wiped out in those 7 years. And only one-third. Of course, we know 144,000 of them are Jewish evangelists, and we got the two prophets that are there. But the rest of them, get wiped out except for one-third that survive. And so it's going to be a hard time for them, but God's still got his eyes on them, doesn't he? Romans 11 tells us that. But so we need to pray for them as well. So I would like to close in prayer. And actually, you're going to get out early today. So you guys can make sure you thank me. Because you're going to beat the first and second and third church to the restaurants. All right.
Thank you, Charlie.
Yeah. Father God, I am so thankful that no matter who I am or what I'm saying, Lord, that sometimes I wonder if I made any sense. But Lord, you make all the sense. You can take the words of a donkey and change everything. And so, Lord, I thank you for taking these words today and make it do something for each one of us in some way. Whatever is ahead of us in this day or in the days to come, Lord, we fix our eyes on you. We fix our hearts and our minds on you. You are our God. We are so overjoyed because of what you have already done in loving us through your Son, that through him we would be redeemed and set free. Thank you, Lord, for the promise that we have. Thank you that every day that we meditate your word, you bathe us in your word and you cause us to be changed and renewing our mind, transforming us every day. Lord, we thank you for the effects of your word in our lives and the effects of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Lord, we know that this is not just for us selfishly and for our own personal good, but it's for the good of everybody that comes in contact with us. May we truly go out of here and be the salt of the earth and be the light that shines in darkness. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, thank you for loving this world so much that you would bless us that we might be a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.